This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Growing up in the Midwest, like, you know what it's like when it's cold, but like, this is just different.
It's a different kind of cold. I was in New York when there was like the polar vortex.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I mean, like, I lived in Michigan for a winter. Like, there was 4 feet of snow on the ground, and it was still like, it was just not, it's not the same. Something about like the ocean air, it's like really evil.
It's so true. Because it's like, that, and it's so dry. When I first got here, my skin was like peeling off my face.
Oh my,
it was disgusting. I was like, who is this? Like, am I hitting puberty in my 20s? Like, what is going on?
I will say, down here, because of all the hills, when the weather isn't good, it can get really treacherous because no one can drive already. Like, these people do not know how to drive here. It's actually like really frustrating. Cause like, we grew up in the same place. Like, you don't drive in snow on ice, mm-hmm. things like that. That does not exist here. And so it's super hilly and the streets are all really narrow and it's like anarchy and it's really frustrating.
I went to Cincinnati, I think probably like 3 times. And I vividly remember being like, I could never live here because the roads are so horrible. Like,
yeah.
And I drive a Kia Forte. Like, it's not like I drive any, like, big behemoth. I drive a small car.
No, I have an SUV, and I've always driven SUVs. And, like, I remember my one roommate, she had her friends visiting from Cleveland, and they were, like, their minds, and they started whipping my SUV around. Like, I was driving them places, and they were like, how do you get this thing through these streets? And I'm like, I'm really spatially aware.
Built
different and better. But
exactly. But yeah, so welcome to AA, which I realize is kind of funny saying AA, given the topic that we're going to talk about.
Not my first AA meeting, but...
Yeah, exactly. But I want to introduce you to the podcast, and I'm trying to, like, figure out, mostly because, like, I have a gap of my knowledge of who you are. I have my high school Greta, and then I have like Greta that I've been keeping up with on social media over the past, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. And like, what I know about you now is like, you graduated from Cincinnati, you're living in Cincinnati, and you're an artist, and you're sober, and that's all I've got.
I mean, I think that's like, that's pretty accurate. Like, if I had to just like give someone a spiel, it'd be like that. I have 2 cats. Yeah, that's right. I'm trying to think of things to add. Like, I love Diet Coke. I don't know.
If I were to write a biography of myself, that's everything that I would include and scene.
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, also, you've had a few viral TikToks.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yes, made a few cents on those.
Yes, that is, yes.
Love. Okay, but seriously though, how did you decide? Okay, also, first of all, I started reading that book that you posted on your Instagram story a while ago. Not that I started reading it a while ago. You posted it a while ago. It was Quit Like a Woman.
Yeah, by Holly Whitaker. When you sent me the questions, I like jotted down some things and I wanted to mention that book. She just really, I think especially the first few chapters, she really like just lays it out for you. Like what, I mean, the social implications are of drinking, your health implications, societal implications. I think she does a really, really good job of kind of giving you like, not, I mean, it's not a bulleted list in the book, but she just really lays out for you. She's like, these are all of the things you're risking every time you drink. And a lot of people don't even think about it.
Yep, exactly. Because I know for me, I recently decided that I wasn't going to be drinking for the foreseeable future, if ever again, because I was like diagnosed with some mental health items. And I was like, okay, I don't need to be drinking because I don't want to be medicated. And if I don't want to be medicated, then I need to be more cognizant of the actions that I'm making. And once I decided that that's what I was going to do, it kind of was like really easy for me to make that decision, largely in part because I'm only a social drinker. I would never drink by myself. I've never had a glass of wine by myself. I've never like even had a White Claw by myself ever. I have only ever drank with people. So me being by myself, making the decision, I'm not going to drink anymore, completely easy. The first time I stepped out into a social setting where drinks were involved, very close to succumbing to peer pressure.
And it sucks that, like, at least for me, like, that was also something I struggled with when I first. How long have you not been drinking for?
October 15th. So what is that? A little over like 20 days?
Okay. Yeah. Well, congratulations. Thanks. One day at a time. So I think my sobriety date, my year was like September 27th or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little bit over a year.
Awesome.
It was a really big milestone and it made me feel really proud of myself. And I was going to say, like, I think for me, and this isn't the truth necessarily for everyone, but I do think that for a vast majority of people, the choice to get sober is like tied to, you know, mental health and, you know, how we feel about ourselves and just wanting to do better by ourselves. And so for me, it was that. And when I first decided, the first time I got sober was a failure. I failed. Mm-hmm. I did a really, really bad job.
Well, it's easy to fail. So
yeah. And it's like, and the thing is, and I think a lot of people, like, they're really, really hard on themselves when they fail. But it's like, no one's good at anything the first time they do it. It's like when you ride a horse for the first time, it's fucking scary and you probably don't know how to do it. It's the same thing. It's like sobriety. It's like, it's hard. And so like the first time I tried to get sober was April of 2021. And I was sober for about 2 weeks. It was like right before I graduated college. And my friend like called me, she was super drunk. And she's like, oh my God, like come out to the bar. Like with me and my boyfriend, it'll be so much fun. And like, I like had told everyone I wasn't drinking, but I don't know how seriously the people in my life at the time really took that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, and I'm sure you probably, I mean, I don't want to make any assumptions, but it's like, some people are just like, oh, like that's a phase.
Yes.
Or like my mom is convinced it's a phase.
Yep.
Like, it's really cute of her, but
it's cute of her, but that's simply not the case.
It's like, it's been over a year. It's a little bit more than a phase now, but you know, maybe in like 30 years, it's allowed to be a phase, but I don't know. I don't see myself going back to drinking. But yeah, so my friend was like, oh, I come up to the bar and there's like one thing after another. All of a sudden I was 4 tequila shots in. There was a lemur. I was touching it. And you know, it's honestly like a really kind of embarrassing story. And it's a whole can of worms. But yeah, the next morning I was like, damn, that was crazy.
As one does after 4 tequila shots and touching a lemur.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I'm just not cut out for it.
Mm-hmm. Cut out for sobriety or cut out for
drinking? Yeah, cut out for sobriety.
Yeah, okay.
So I didn't try again for a long time. Which is like, I think that was like, I mean, I'm not going to say that was like I was like, I'm super proud of that time in my life. Mm-hmm. Where I was like, I just kind of gave up on this thing that I had wanted. Like I had not getting sober months beforehand. I just like kind of accepted that maybe I wasn't cut out for sobriety, which is like, maybe not the healthiest thing to admit to yourself, and especially at the time. And like something like, and I'll be honest here, like I am bipolar and I didn't know I was bipolar for most of, up until this point, most of my life.
Same.
I had no idea. I just thought I was like, you know, depressed or, you know, whatever. And like in hindsight, like it's literally 2020. I'm like, you mean to tell me that I have been experiencing this my entire life? And yep. I just found out. And that's like, and that's just the big, that's just like the big bad boy in the room. There's also, there's PTSD and OCD, which are all things that like stem from that.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that like I have learned how to cope and the way that my experiences that I've had with that have shaped me. That is just like, if you are mentally ill, it's hard to have a healthy relationship with substances.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I think it's just the reality of the situation. It's difficult. It's something that you have to work on every single day. If like that's the route you're going to take, if you're like, I want to be a casual drinker, it's like that is a choice that you have to make. And I mean, I think it's awesome that you were only a social drinker. I didn't get so lucky.
That's, yeah, it's not the case for everybody.
Well, I also unfortunately had a genetic predisposition, which I think I should have realized early on, mm-hmm. due to just some different extenuating circumstances as far as, you know, family, and it's all that good stuff to unpack. But my therapist made a lot of money off of me. it was like very eye-opening. But the reason I had sobriety had ever even crossed my mind, had ever even occurred to me, was because I accidentally, walking down the street, ran into this guy who followed me on Instagram, and he was sober. He was the first sober person I ever met, or at least the first sober person I'd ever met that like I actually had like some kind of connection with. Because mm-hmm. like in college, my friends all partied, I partied, yep. and that's normal. That's like a normal, yep. well, at least it's perceived as normal.
Yes, especially in America.
Yeah, in America, partying, going out 3 times a week, more, less, binge drinking, all are things that are super duper normal. In like retrospect, I'm like, God, I wish I could fucking shake my younger self and be like, it is not normal to get off class and then go to the corner store that doesn't card you and get a Four Loko.
Yeah.
Ooh. And get another one before the night's even over. Like, that's insane behavior.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I completely agree, because that was exactly me as well. And it was so jarring to wake up the next morning and be like, what happened last night? Like, it was cute and quirky initially. And then for whatever reason, I turned 22 and I had the most anxiety I've ever had in my entire life after drinking, every single time without fail.
Oh yeah, anxiety is so real.
And I was like, what's happening? Like, what happened to my cute fun hangovers where I just wanted to get McDonald's, and then as soon as I got McDonald's, everything went away and I was magically a drink again? Like, what happened to that? And then my anxiety like would last longer than my hangover, and it was just crippling. And I was like, I can't keep doing this. Like, what is this? I feel terrible.
It's literally like, it's like a monkey that hangs on your back. That's exactly like, that's like it. That's what it feels like. It's like this little drunk monkey. And it's like, you were touching the lemur last night. Wasn't fun? Everyone thought you looked stupid while you did it. Like, and not only that, but it's like, I fucking acted like an insane person. I feel like I have like
I am a serial dater, 100%. Like, always have been, probably always will be. And it was exacerbated during drinking. Like, oh, we're talking, you're interested in me? Let me just call you 7 times to make sure and verify that you actually still like me. Because I'm really concerned at this moment in time that you don't anymore for whatever reason. And I'm going to call you 7 times. And then I'm going to show up to wherever your Snap Maps location is. And I'm going to be like, hey, so I'm really concerned because you're not answering my phone calls. Like, that's the type of stuff that I was doing. And I was like, that's not healthy.
No, definitely not.
No.
I didn't do that. I would do this really cute thing, equally as unhinged, where I was always like testing the limits of other people's love and adoration for me. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that I'm just, frankly, I am sick in the head. And it's not cute and it's not quirky. And I think I tried to play it off like that for like a really long time, where I was like, oh, it's funny that like I'm like super depressed and I don't act right. And it, 'cause it, but it's not the day where I decided I wanted to stop drinking. This is a great segue into that, where I was like, actually, I'm done. So said guy, who was the first person I knew who was like sober that I actually connected with, I was like absolutely in love with him, totally. And it just never really worked out, because I was not, I mean, it wasn't just the fact that like I was drinking, but I was drinking really, really heavily in my senior year. I was working on my thesis. I was completely isolated in my bedroom. All of like, because I graduated in 2021, so it was like I had all my classes online. I painted every single one of my thesis paintings, which was like six different paintings, absolutely hammered. I would drink an entire bottle of wine. I lived right across the street from a corner store that basically only sold alcohol, and I would drink like a six pack of White Claws, whatever, like almost every single day. Like, no one really thought it was an issue. They'd be like, oh, haha, I lived with five other people. And not once did any of them think that there was something weird or wrong about that. And I was like, they're like, oh, Greta's just being Greta, having fun, being creative. And I'm like, my life is not like a silly arts and crafts comedy.
Like, this is a cry for help. Please help
Yeah, like
me.
I'm a real person with real feelings who's literally endangering myself and my health and my well-being. And like, it was just like no one, not really, like hardly anyone in my life saw anything wrong with it. And so it was like the way I was dating was like just wrong. And so I was like always trying to make it work with this guy, and it was never going to work because I was fucked up.
I relate to that wholeheartedly. And it hasn't been like I've only been sober for like a little over 20 days. And I'm a hopeless romantic. So anytime I would meet a guy out at the bar, I'd be like, this is the one. I'm gonna marry this guy. And he ticks all my boxes, blah, blah, blah. I literally, if you go and look at my recent dating history, not a single one of the guys I've dated over the past year have anything in common. So how could all of these men be my type? How could all of these men check all my boxes? Makes no sense to me. And then I look back and I'm like, what was like the commonality between all of that? I met all of them when I was drunk. And then I had like this idea of some sort of utopian relationship that we were in. And I created some sort of fantasy in my head that was fulfilling in my head. And I liked the idea of being in love with them more than I loved them themselves. But my brain was like, oh, I love them. I want them to love me. And the only way to do that was to be like hot and fun and go out and get drunk and call them seven times.
Or test their love for you.
Exactly.
Like it's like, no, and it's it, you always it's and it's like the immediate gratification of getting that back, especially like when you're intoxicated. It's like getting like 100 likes on a post in 1 second. You're like, ah! Yeah,
Yeah. Absolute serotonin hit to the brain, dude.
no, it's like yeah, an electric shock of serotonin. It's just like wonk. And I was doing these tests for everyone, and then I was like, well, if I can't have him, I'll find someone else. And then I get into this whole crazy love triangle situation. And it's like, I just wanted approval. I craved that, just, I don't know. But anyway, basically the night, it's a really, really embarrassing story, the night. And I'm gonna just go over, basically, sober guy's ex-girlfriend sits at a table with me and my friends at a bar. And like we were having like a 1980 night, pop infused, drunk, 20 something single girl, just so slay evening. And
Taylor
this girl sits
Swift's wet
down.
dream is what you're
No,
describing.
literally, this girl sits down, and like not none of my friends know who she is, because she means nothing to any of them except for me. And everyone starts telling her how beautiful she is. Yeah, and something about that moment, I snapped in half like a fucking glow stick. And then the rest of the night, it was just like I was here, I was there, and no one could get a hold of me. It was like calling and texting, and I end up at the guy's house and I'm fucking a train wreck. And he hasn't seen me like that a lot because, like, I'm a cool girl.
Yeah, I have my
girl.
shit together.
I'm fun and not like that. And I don't get drunk like that. I have two drinks and that's like not the truth. Like, I'm good. And I'm like, I'm literally like off a fucking six pack of beer and seven White Claws. Who the fuck knows?
Yeah.
Ethanol directly into my veins. And this is the only time he's ever really commented on my drinking. He's like, you never act like this when you're not drunk. And that was like the sobering moment. Me standing there, I think I had a fucking corset top on. I was like all laced up, shivering. My mascara, I'm sure, was all over
Running.
my face. And he's like in his pajamas. I'm keeping him up on this night. And I was like, oh my God, like I'm the problem.
Yeah.
It's me.
Yep. That is exactly like very, I didn't have a corset top on and my makeup wasn't running, but I was talking to a guy and he wasn't giving me the attention that I wanted. And so I screamed at him at the bar in front of all of our friends. And I immediately walk out of the bar and he looks at me and he goes, "We're not doing that. Like, let's go home." We go home. And then while we're like at his apartment, I'm pretty sure, I don't know because I was like blacked out, kind of. I'm pretty sure I kept telling him I loved him to like overcompensate for yelling at him at the bar. And then the next morning, I woke up and I was like, oh my God, a crazy person took over my body and acted on my behalf yesterday evening. And I am so sorry for that. And so I didn't talk to him all day. And then normally we like text after work and or he'll call me. No text, no call. I was like, okay, I did something bad. So I'm gonna call him and apologize. I called. He didn't want the apology. Obviously not. Like, I was a crazy person. What type of person wants to talk to a crazy person? Like, you're not rational. And so it was kind of, I had a lot of moments like that. And I kind of let my impulses while I was drunk get the best of me. And I let my insecurities get so heightened while I was drunk. Like, I am the most self-confident person that I know when I'm sober. But as soon as I'm drunk, I need immediate validation from people. I need people to tell me how much they love and appreciate me. I need everything from everyone. And it's a mess. And it's like, very, it's almost funny, but it's like sobering how much validation I require when I'm drunk. And I was like, I never act this way when I'm sober. And then shortly after that situation with that man's happened, I was diagnosed with bipolar as well. And the same sort of thing happened to me. I was like, how did I live 24 years of my life without knowing this? Call my mom, and she's like, oh yeah, like I've actually been diagnosed with bipolar. And I was like, great. Would love to have known that my last 24 years on this earth, but okay, thank you. And when I was reading through, because I knew nothing about bipolar besides for it was like what you said to people on the playground when they would like get really mad at you at recess. And so I looked up like some of the symptoms, and a lot of it was like impulse decisions, like you're making terrible decisions. And I was like, okay, so if I'm making poor decisions sober, and this is being heightened when I'm drunk, let's just take that out of the equation. And that was like exactly when I decided that I was going to become sober. I was like, I can't make decisions sober, so I'm going to start making, and I definitely can't make them when I'm drunk. So I'm going to quit drinking. And I did.
I didn't realize that I was bipolar until probably about 5 months after I had quit drinking. I had been in pretty crazy therapy before that, though. So I had been in therapy for something like 8 months before I quit drinking. And then about 4 months into that, I was having a really hard time. And it wasn't just because of, I'd quit drinking. And I had stepped back from a lot of people in my life. I'd stepped back from like anyone I'd been romantic with. I was like, you know what? Like, this now is not the time for me to be doing this. I'm like, I have some serious soul searching to do because the way I've been acting was not okay. And it's like, and I think it's important to hold yourself accountable, because like it's like, yeah, I can sit here and be like, yeah, that was crazy, that was nuts, I did that, but it's like at the end of the day, like I did that, and like I damaged real people and I hurt their feeling. Like I was like, I was drunk and I was the villain in someone's story.
Yep. 100%.
And that sucks. And like that sucks, because it's like, I mean, but that's the that's just the reality of it. And like that was something I'm like, and I never want to put people I love and I care about in a situation where they're concerned about my safety, where they don't know where I'm at, where I have said things to them that I regret, where I have been mean or unkind or just not like emotionally taxing in a way that is just not productive.
Right.
You can have like, I mean, like I, in my friendships and my dynamics change, like I only have a few of the same friends that I had when I quit drinking. And it was because when I quit drinking, I realized that I just don't, I didn't have in common the things that I had had in common with them when we first became friends. I mean, most of the people I was still spending time with, I met when like my first few years of college, and like I partied really hard and they did too. And so that was like something that we had bonded over. So it was like, when we talk about our funny memories together, the things that we enjoyed, it's always memories we hardly actually even remember.
Right.
Oh, I think this person did this, and then maybe they did this, and then you were crying doing this. And that night was so fun, and that night was so crazy. And it was like, what am I actually getting, you know, from these people? What are they giving me? And like, that was really hard. Like I relatively recently decided to split from my first friend at college. I decided that, you know, that relationship wasn't serving me anymore, because I just kind of more and more I realized, I was like, we don't really have anything in common. Like we love each other. I love her a lot, but it's like, this relationship isn't serving me. It's not good for me. I feel like I'm being taken advantage of, and I'm not getting anything back from it, because it's like, I'm not going out to the bars with her anymore, which is always when she was the nicest and the most fun, and we got the most out of our time with each other. And it was like, it just wasn't there for me. That was hard. And that was, and that also, and I will say, it has made dating really, really hard.
Not even like dating wise. I went out with my coworkers last Wednesday, and they've all seen me drink before. They've seen me house beers. They've seen me way drunker than I ever needed to be in front of my coworkers. And everyone goes up to the bar, and I'm like hanging back because I really don't want to go up and have to deal with that, because that's like the first time that I was ever soberly with a group of people going up to a bar. I'm like trying to scan the QR code on the bar to see if they have any non-alcoholic beverages, because I was like, all right, well, I'm gonna like try and figure out what I'm gonna order so these people like don't catch on to me, like they don't realize that I'm not drinking. And I couldn't find any non-alcoholic drinks on the menu that weren't just like lemonade or Coke or Sprite or whatever. And so I was like, oh, I'll just get water, like I'll figure out what I'm gonna drink in a minute. The bartender is like, come on, I'll make you a drink, like really quick, I'll just make you one, you'll like it, I promise. I was like, no, like that's okay, you don't have to do that. And he makes me a drink, and he literally just shows up at the bar. I'm like, my stomach dropped. I was like, I can't drink that. I looked at my boss. I was like, I'm not drinking that. And he's like, oh, no, you don't have to. Like, don't worry about it. And then I go over to the bartender. I was like, hey, look, dude, I'm sober, actually. And he's like, oh, no way, me too. I was like, then why are you shoving this alcohol onto me? Like, what the hell? And he ended up handing me, it's called Just the Haze. It's a Sam Adams IPA, and it's zero proof beer. It was actually pretty good. It tasted like apple juice.
I think beers kind of go off sometimes, but I'm like, I was like a really big craft beer fan. So like, kind of expected to like them.
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of not, because I was like, what's the appeal of beer if there's no alcohol in it? But like, that was one of my first encounters of like going up and trying to figure out, okay, how do these people, like, how do I make it seem like I'm still cool and I'm like, want to have fun? Like, I've not even approached the dating front of that. I've not even, like, I can't imagine, because, like, people ask you very casually, like, hey, let's go grab drinks. People don't ask you to, like, go and grab a bite to eat. Like, that's not casual enough. Drinks is casual. It's so casual. And I don't drink coffee. Like,
yeah, well, I know that for, well, with the going up to, like, bars and stuff, just since, like, that's, like, on the table right now, I have just, at first I was like really like weird about it. I was like, oh, I'll just like, oh, I'm just like not, like, I'm just not in the mood, stuff like that. And now I'll just straight up be like, I don't drink or I'm sober. And for the most part, honestly, people are really, really cool about it. Sometimes people ask really inappropriate questions and related. Are you pregnant? And I said, yes, 9 months today. I'll be like, 9 months. Or I'll be like, yeah, I'll be like, yeah, I've been cooking this guy up for like a year and 2 months, like,
yeah,
like 400 days. But like, I've had people like this, these kids came into work. I will say kids, cause I'm not sure they were of legal drinking age, but they were drunk. I'm like part-time at a store where I actually get to sell a lot of my own stuff, which is really cool.
That's sick.
I've been there literally since I was like 20 years old. And quite frankly, I just like love working there. So I'm like, why stop?
Honestly, like if you have a good work environment that you love going to,
yeah,
and good like, for you, because a lot of people simply do not.
Yeah. And like 3 days a week, that's nothing.
Yeah. No.
It's so slay, honestly. But they were like, they're trying. One of the stores is like right next to a restaurant that is like mostly bar, and they were just trying to like bring me over a drink, and I was like being really nice about it. I was like, oh no, like I'm at work, and they're like, oh, you're so fine. And finally, I was like, I'm sober. I was like, I don't drink. I'm sober, because I was like, maybe this will just like. And they're like, oh, are you an alcoholic? You know, when we talk about like what is an alcoholic, there's so much nuance to the discussion. I think Holly Whitaker goes over it really, really well in the book. And like, what is alcoholism? Like, why do we have this stigma against, you know, being upfront about, you know, what it is? And I was like, you know, that's not like super an appropriate thing to ask people. And there's a lot of nuance to it. And I was like, no, I just don't drink. Cause you know what? I just don't drink. And it's like, I'm not like in a 12-step program. No. I've been to AA meetings actually while I still drank. I'd been to AA meetings, not like because out of my like my own volition. My mom actually would take me to them, which is like a really, my mom also drinks, so I don't it was just like uncomfortable. And then when people ask you things like that, there's no really easy way to answer it, so it's like I don't want to like look them in the eye and be like yes.
Yeah. And it's also like at the end of the day, none of their business.
No, and really,
like, why do you feel entitled to that information?
No, really,
so what if I am? Like, what are you going to do? Like, what, how does that serve you? Like, what do you gain from knowing that I'm an alcoholic or not? Like,
no, literally. And it's like, well, and it's like, I've had this experience before. So I have self-harm scars and I have had people ask me about them, which is like a really insane thing to do. And I'm sure some people like genuinely, you know, it didn't occur to them that that's what they might be. Mm-hmm. And like, it's like the same kind of thing. It like puts people on the spot. And it's just like, honestly, like kind of a rude thing to ask. And like, I just like, I'm really like, do you want me to look you in the eye and tell you that like, I tried to take my own life? It's like, it's not a fun conversation. It's like, no one wants to talk about that. So it's like, I really feel like people need to like think about the questions that they ask before they ask them. And they're like, am I actually prepared for a serious answer right now? Or is this just like an impulse thing?
Yeah, you know? I completely agree. And it's like, seriously, don't ask me questions that you don't want the answer to. And also at the same time, first person that I met that was sober, he came up to me and I work at a bar, by the way. So like, I work part-time at a bar. So after my day job, like I wanted to make friends in the area. And I was like, oh, like a bunch of people my age work at a bar. I'll go work at a bar. And so we go to this party and everyone is absolutely belligerent, including myself. And I go up to one of the few guys that I knew that was working. And I was like, oh, are you going to grab a drink? And he was like, no, I'm actually sober. And I remember looking at him and being like, so you must, I didn't say anything, but I was like, oh, you, that must have been like, you must have had a traumatic experience. Like you must have fucked up pretty bad. Like you're only in your 20s and you already decided that you're sober. And now like looking back on that, that was so unjust for me to even think. Although I didn't verbally act on what I was thinking, the fact that I was even thinking it is so inappropriate and vile. Like, why did I just assume that? Like, I don't know this man. I don't know why he decided to do it. Could be for health reasons. Could be because he's like susceptible to addiction. Like, could be literally anything, but it's not my goddamn business. I'll tell you that.
Okay. So, super fun, quirky thing for me to do. I I'm a broke bitch and I don't have Zoom Premium. I only have Zoom Basic. So what that means is when I have a guest on my podcast, I record all of my meetings through Zoom, and the first 30 minutes are free. And so I schedule two back-to-back 30-minute meetings and I record both of them and I just stitch them together in the editing portion of my podcasting journey here. But anyways, so I had Greta on for the first 30 minutes, obviously recorded it, had her on for the second 30 minutes, talked the whole time, didn't realize that I didn't record it until I went to go merge and stitch the two audios together, and the second audio simply was not there. So I had to have Greta back on, shout out to Greta, and thankfully she did. But in the second portion of this podcast, you'll hear us refer to a lost episode or items that we may have talked about previously that we didn't actually talk about. And so those are both in those episodes that just are now missing. And then additionally, I didn't have my microphone when I was recording our second session. And so that's why the audio sounds different as well. But anyways, back to the regular scheduled programming.
Notes.
A lot of things to say on that.
Many, many things. But back to the topic at hand.
Yeah. So where we kind of left off was transitioning. Okay. So after you stop drinking, trying to figure out what you do with that time now. So obviously I know that we talked about this and it's going to be super weird, like deja vu talking about it again, but obviously you have more, you were talking about how you feel like you have more time to do things and life just feels like there's so many more opportunities. So how have you personally harnessed that time?
So a lot of people will pick up new hobbies, which isn't really something that I experience so much. Like I play guitar now, which is something that I probably wouldn't have had the time to pick up if I'd still been drinking. But like, other than that, I've always been very hobbylicious, which I know that I've said before. And it gives me more time to really focus on those. Like in the year that I've gotten sober, I started my own business. I have an LLC, which is really crazy.
Awesome.
Which is, not to say that I definitely would not have started it if I hadn't quit drinking, because like, I don't have a crystal ball. I can't,
right.
You know, I can't paint with like a broad brush, but, I do know that like, I would not be in the same position I am today as, if I hadn't quit drinking, just because the amount of time I've been able to spend making things I care about and actually connecting with people and working on my ideas. It's like, I don't feel like I'm like a prisoner to Fridays, mm-hmm. and Saturdays anymore. And like the same way. And it's like, it doesn't feel like it's a prison when you're in it. It's like, it's like what I imagine, like an animal that's never been out of a zoo. It's just lived in mm-hmm. captivity its entire life. Like you think you're getting all this enrichment and you think it's so much fun and you're like, woo, and then it's like, once you're out of it, once you suddenly are not constrained by these bounds of like, oh, on Fridays and Saturday nights, I have to go out with my friends and we have to drink. And then on Friday on Saturday and Sunday mornings, I'm going to be super hungover. It's like, that I don't feel the compulsion to have to go out. Like I do go out with my friends still sometimes, but it's like, I don't feel like that's something that I have to do to have a healthy, well-balanced mm-hmm. social life. And then the next day I don't feel like shit in the morning. So like I can wake up at 7 a.m. and go to my Pilates class and then I can mm-hmm. go to a coffee shop and like write or whatever yep. the hell I'm gonna do. Like I'm working on a fucking manuscript right now. I don't have time to do that if like
you were hungover in bed.
Yeah, if I was hungover in bed, no.
Or that's so funny that you say that. Not that you're writing a manuscript, because that's first of all awesome and amazing. But I remember so vividly my freshman year of college. I so desperately wanted to be the cool girl that everyone wanted to hang out with and go out with. And if I didn't have plans, I literally barricaded myself in my room and I was too embarrassed to leave my room on a Friday night. Like if I had laundry to do, I waited until I knew everyone on my floor had left to go to the bar to do my laundry, because I was embarrassed to stay in. And it is exactly what you described. It's a cage that you're in that you don't even realize that you're in. I was like, oh, this is normal. Like people go out. I'm just embarrassed that I'm not going out. People are going to think I'm lame. No, there's things to be doing other than drinking. Like in hindsight, that was like the most insane thing I think I've ever experienced in my entire life. Like, there's no way that that is a normal feeling. Like, I'm hiding in my room because I was too scared that I didn't have plans to go and get shit-faced with my friends.
Yeah.
There's something wrong there.
It's nuts the way that we've been conditioned to think that, like, Fridays and Saturdays are for this. And if you're not doing this, you're lame. You're a loser. Like, you're no fun. Like, what are you doing this weekend? Like, I'm hanging out with my cats. I'm reading a fucking book. I've read 30 books this year.
That's amazing.
Which is like,
I've tried to be a reading girl. I know that's like the trend now. I'm reading 2 books right now. And I'm just a slow reader in general. Like, I would love to have read 30 books. I know that about myself, that I will not, like, even with all this new time that I have, I will never read 30 books in 1 year. So that's just extremely impressive to me in general.
Yeah. I joined a book club. Like,
damn. You saying I don't do new hobbies, joins a book club, writes a manuscript, paints all the time, runs a new business. Like, yeah, no. No new hobbies here.
It doesn't feel, it's, I think it's because it's, I've spent like the whole last year working up to all of these things. It doesn't feel like as big of a deal as I guess it really is.
Yeah. I think it's huge.
I did with my free time before I quit drinking. I'm like, not all that much. I mean, I definitely painted. I painted a lot. Actually, right. I probably painted a lot more, but I think that I also didn't have, like, it's like, I think we mentioned in the first part of this, like, I used to just shit faced and paint, which is like not a really, it's not a very healthy creative process. It puts you in a rut. I think it really gets you get kind of stuck in like this valley of just like, of concepts and ideas. And it's like, there's no, you can't see over like the range. So it's like, and now it's like when I paint, like I mean, I still paint a lot of the same stuff. I'm still exploring a lot of the same concepts. I'm also like working on MFA applications.
Yeah.
I have time to
just
do.
Another thing to add to the list.
And like, so my thesis and like, the work that I did on that is like a really big part of the application process. So I'm still expanding on it. But it's like, I also have so many other things that like, I want to paint, or I'm interested in painting, or I can read about, so I can think about painting it.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
That's truly beyond me. I like painting. I find it very therapeutic. I don't have a creative mind. Like, I can replicate art really well. And I'm like pretty good at doing like your standard fraternity, sorority, cooler painting art. Like, I'm good at that.
You're like, I can paint a fucking cooler.
I am good at that. That is something that I am good at. Now me, like, analyzing feelings, I've been trying so hard. So I have this book that I want to paint in, but I don't even know where to begin with like how to analyze my feelings and put that into a physical form other than words. I love writing. I've been journaling since I was a little kid, and I've journaled way more now that I've like become sober, because it kind of has become my companion through my sober journey, or my journey of sobriety rather. And trying to illustrate my words in an illustration is just like, I never realized how hard that is. And it is truly, I don't even know. I'm at such a loss for words, because it is truly like, I don't want to say amazing, because I feel like I've said amazing 20 million times during the last like 5 minutes, but it is absolutely jaw dropping. Like, it is truly a talent, and you are very, very talented. And I just want to let you know that, because like, that was my whole synthesis of that information. Like, it is truly unreal that that is something that you can do.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I work very hard at it. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. And honestly, like, starting your own business is huge, and having people to support you through that, because I know that you mentioned that your roommates weren't necessarily as cognizant of your drinking issue while you were going through your painting process and like creating all these paintings and stuff. So how did that friendship or dynamic rather kind of change as you've become sober?
How did my friend, a lot of them I'm just not friends with anymore. I just realized I didn't really have anything in common. And I think that this is like something, and that people write songs about this feeling, and I could name a million and two pop songs about this feeling where like you're out and you're partying and you're having fun with your friends, and but you still feel alone and you still mm-hmm. feel like there's like an emptiness. And that's because it's like, it's easy to have fun with anyone if you're fucked up.
That's it's so like, true.
Your inhibitions are gone. Your normal, like your normal judgment skills are gone. And not just like characters and like moral and ethics, but character as far as like what you like, what you relate to, what you truly enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Substance, some would say.
Literally substance. And it's like, so it's like, I realize it's like a big part of the reason why I felt so alone is because I was spending time with people who like, yeah, I had a ton of fun with them when I was drinking. But like when I was around them other times, I'd feel anxious or depressed because I was like, I don't have things I feel like I can talk to them about. Mm-hmm. Or when I do talk to them about, I feel like they're putting down my interests or my hobbies or whatever. And it's like, that's not a healthy way to build friendships. It's like, you should be building friendships on shared interests and passions and hobbies and things you can do together. Experiences have been like mm-hmm. one of the biggest things I've been able to bond with people is like actually going and like doing things together.
Yep.
And that has been so substantial. And I've really found, I think, like a community of friends who like a lot of my friends do drink. I do have sober friends though too, but it's like, I can go to my friends to places where there's going to be drinking happening, but it's not weird or I don't feel uncomfortable because what's going on, we're listening to fucking stand-up comedy or we're going to see a band play.
Yep.
Or like, even it's just like the group of people that I'm with, I can be with them and I can have fun with them and I can have a conversation with them and not feel like I need to be drinking to do that. Or right. to even just not have anxiety around them.
Yeah. And I completely resonate with that. When I first moved to Boston, I met all of my friends by drinking. And so now that I'm not drinking anymore, I'm like struggling to figure out where my friendships are. And another issue that I've kind of realized is that I'm a serial dater. I'm always dating somebody. And I realized why I was doing that was because I was actually forming connections with these men because we weren't drinking all of the time. We would hardly drink. And so I would create such deep connections with all of these men, and I would want to just be friends with them. I didn't even want to be in a romantic relationship with them anymore. And I was like, why does this keep happening with only men? I only have this issue with men. I've never once like gone out with a girl, I'm like, oh yeah, like she was cool, like, but it was just such a weird like feeling for me because I was like, I can so easily relate to men and I'm having a great time making friends with men, why am I not having a great time making friends with girls? And I never understood the connection being alcohol. I always would go and get shit-faced and get drunk with all these girls and it was fun and I loved it and it was like a good time. But like you said, all substance goes out the window when you're drunk. You're just talking about nothing. You're talking about what's happening in your environment at that moment. And in that environment and in that moment, it's super fun and exciting to talk about. But when you're on a date or when you're doing datey things like going to a comedy club with a guy, like that is such a different dynamic. And you're actually talking about things of substance. And so that is truly why I got addicted to dating, because I was only having conversations of substance with men.
Absolutely just analyze the fuck out of that.
Yeah.
Sure. I haven't really had that experience because I have a hard time with men. I'm not gonna lie. And I have I'm very bad at dating. But
yeah, I'm by no means good at it. Hence why nothing has stuck. But yeah, it's just like, it was a definite cycle. And I think now we're tapering off. And now that I've stopped drinking and kind of assessed why I was having successful relationships with primarily men as opposed to women, that really kind of set in with me. I was like, wow, let's take a step back and let's kind of realize why we're doing what we're doing. Do we actually like these men, or do we just like that you have substance when you're with these men?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, definitely. Well, also it's like you have to like that like becomes like a really serious like personal reflection. You're like, am I just a misogynist? Or like,
and I truly thought that's what it was, because I was like, oh, I'm just an engineer. Like, I always have spent, dude, it was so bad. It was so bad. Like, no, I was like, I grew up with all men, like my dad, Nico, David. And then I went to school and I spent all my time with people in STEM, which were primarily men. Oh, and God. I was like, I think I just get along better with guys. Like, I think that's just in my nature. No, it's just because you were getting drunk and you were losing all substance and sense of self when you were with your girlfriends. Like, yeah. It's not that you don't get along with girls, and I was constantly questioning. I was calling Nico all the time, super sad, and being like, I have no friends here. I can't figure out what's going on. Like, what the hell? And that was it. I still have difficulty with female friendships at the moment because I currently like just realized that this was the issue. But yeah.
But I mean, at least now you have like a jumping off point to work on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, I think that female friendships too, at least for me, have been essentially like the backbone of like what's kept me, not necessarily what's kept me sober, but what's like kept me on track and like that. And but I think, yeah, female friendships have really been like the backbone for me. And I mean, like, I've always had a lot of female friendships, but especially since I decided to quit drinking, they've become a lot deeper. And then something I found too when I was drinking, and it was like, not only was I forming super surface level connections with people, but I was also like trauma bonding with other people.
Yeah.
Which is like, I had a really, really gnarly friend breakup not that long ago with someone who I like, we did together when we first became friends was just like get really, really drunk and fuck around and got like fucking insane shit. Like one night we did like a bunch of shots of whiskey. It was Jameson. Cause there
oh,
was
that's
a
worse. That was
at
worse.
The bar so we could get our names on the wall. And then we like walked up and down the street knocking on people's doors and like asking for people that like weren't there. We like made up names and like a story. And we're like, oh, we're supposed to be at a party like at this, like, and this is the address they gave us. Like,
I think I did something similar to that in middle school.
it was stupid and dumb. And then I realized like after I quit drinking, I'm like, I actually really don't like spending time with this person. Mm-hmm. They're actually kind of like a mean girl, but yeah. We had so much fun when we were drinking together and we had been through so many similar things that like, it like, I'm like, oh, like if it's not a friend, why does it seem like it's a friend, you know?
Yeah. And that's really one of the tougher parts. I think I haven't noticed a lot of the benefits yet of drinking, but I have noticed a lot of like some of the more negative things that I know that we talked earlier about, of people thinking that it's just a phase and like asking when you're going to be done doing it. And is it just sober October, sober November? And I think the more important things to focus on are like what benefits that you get from not drinking. So you obviously find a better sense of self. You obviously have more time doing things. For me, I looked in the mirror on Monday. I was like, damn, who's that skinny legend in the mirror? Because all of her alcohol bloat is gone.
Yeah, I will say I've noticed so many things, and it's like, it's especially just like feeling good in the morning is like amazing. And like my fingers, like I like went down a ring size, which I think is weird. And like my feet didn't shrink. Some people allegedly their feet shrank,
like in size or in
like,
width.
Well, just like in general, because it'll go down like a half size or something because alcohol will make your feet swell. And then something too that I found is that like if women who consume it, this isn't every woman, but it's a lot of women who consume high amounts of alcohol, their body will actually produce more estrogen. So that was something I did not know and was not prepared for, because about like 3 to 4 months after I quit drinking, my boobs were gone. I had not a breast in sight. I like used to kind of, I used to be kind of like
a big boobied bitch. I remember. I remember. I remember being in high school and I was like, damn. Okay, Greta.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say I'm flat chested now, but I am definitely like a small, like C cup, like on a good day.
Yeah, I'm hoping that a little something like that happens to me, to be completely honest. I think the opposite effect is happening to me, which is extremely unfortunate. I stopped drinking and I have gone up a cup size.
Interesting.
And I also, I don't know if that's anything like related to my period at all, but it has, yeah, maybe it's just like in proportion, like my waistline is smaller, so my boobs just start like appearing bigger. I don't know.
Yeah.
Optical illusions.
But yeah, my body like changed a lot. It was like all of a sudden, it was like I didn't necessarily really lose a lot of weight, but just the way I
Well, you've always been very thin though.
Yeah, the way I looked was really, really different. And then like about how like when I went to like I was really athletic growing up. I taught you how to swim, which I thought was like a really cute part of our lore that didn't make it.
I know. That was such a crazy time. I literally could not believe that you were an athlete and then you got in the water and you just started swimming. And I was like, is that Michael? Katie Ledecky? Is that you?
Yeah, that a decade of swimming and I haven't gotten in a pool and like done a lap probably since then.
Yeah.
Like that was probably like the
Which
last
is time. So funny because the contact photo that I have for you in my phone is the two of us at the YMCA.
Oh, that's hilarious. I used to love swimming. I don't know why I got out of it. Now I'm like really into Pilates.
Well,
yeah, it is hard. Pilates is also hard.
Pilates is so hard. And like the upsetting thing about Pilates is that the majority of people in the class are middle-aged women and they can all move way more efficiently than I can. And I'm like, I didn't think that this is how bodies were supposed to work. Like I thought as you aged, you deteriorated and you all are moving way better than I am without breaking a sweat. I'm here panting. My legs are quivering. I can't stand up straight because you all are just like moving your bodies like so perfectly. And you're just so strong. I can't relate.
Whenever like my Pilates instructor is like, oh, beautiful Greta. I'm like, yes. I'm like, fuck you.
Fuck you, Pam, in the front row.
Yeah, because like a lot of the Pilates classes I go to, I'm one of the youngest people there, if not the youngest. I think it's fun. But like my Pilates, I went to like my 7 a.m. Pilates class this morning, which I never would have done if I were still drinking. And like there was like a guy next to me, and I was like, I have got to show this man up. He was like, he had to have been like my dad's age.
No, absolutely no reason for the competition besides for own like moral gain.
I know. I was like, man, this is really how I have fun these days.
But it is true. Like once you do those small little milestones of beating an older person in Pilates, like something as mild as that becomes a huge win and like boosts your ego for the rest of the day.
Yeah, but I was super inactive when I was in college, and it's like I got into like a really bad cycle where I was like I had like a really bad binge eating disorder, and it was always really bad when I was drinking. So I'd get like super drunk and I'd eat a ton of shit, and then I'd feel like shit, and then I'd be like, oh my god, now I can't eat anything for like the next like 24 hours, which is just like clearly like a very terrible situation to be in. And it was like that was like how I was like that was my version of fitness when I drinking Greta world. And now I'm like, oh my god, I can and will eat whatever I want. And then you know what, if I'm feeling guilty about it, which I don't honestly. I don't think people should feel guilty about like what they're consuming and putting in their bodies, because it's like that is like I think food is such like, and I could go on about this, I could write a fucking essay on it, but like eating food and is such a unique experience. And there is so much cultural richness in like sharing a meal with people that you care about and just being able to bond with loved ones over like, I don't know. I love sharing food with people. Like, that is, like, one of my favorite things to do is, like, go out and eat with friends and be like, oh, we're all going to share this shit.
That is Greta's love language, everyone.
No, it, like, it's just, like, it promotes a closeness. And I think, like, being, like, denying yourself of such a unique experience, of taste being such a unique sensory experience, is, like, that's insane. Like, people are picky eaters. I can't with that. That's insane. That's, like, just crazy behavior to me. I'm like, there's so many flavors out there and I want to put them all in my mouth at the same time.
And that is the quote for the entire podcast.
It's like that is that's what sobriety comes down to, eating whatever you want. But I mean, the reality is like, it's like, I mean, I used to drink all my calories all the time. Mm-hmm. I loved craft beer. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, I don't have that literal weight in your stomach when you drink a ton of beer and then you feel full as fuck and you haven't actually eaten anything.
Yep.
Or like, it's so nice. I mean, I could go on forever about all of the ways in which sobriety has just like helped me imagine myself as a better person than I am. And then like, actually like begin to make tangible steps towards that. And I mean, my relationship with food has been almost completely fixed. I would say my relationship with my body is better than it's ever been. I love fucking exercising, which is something that I didn't think
I love that for you.
Ever gonna
love
say
that for you so much. I think that kind of covers everything in the terms of like the benefits that you've received from not drinking, like both mental as well as physical. And I really truly am happy for you. And it's so amazing that you've had so much growth, like in the matter of a year. That's amazing. It's truly remarkable how much you were able to accomplish in 1 year. 1 year. That I just can't, like, that can't be overstated.
It's cool. And like, I do wish, like, I feel like I have come on here and just been like, this is great. And this is great. And this is great. And all those things are great. Like, that's the reality. Like, this is the reality I'm living in. Like, my life has gotten exponentially better since I quit drinking. But it's like, there are also times where it's hard.
Yeah.
And it's a struggle. And like, I mean, there's a reason why like in 12-step programs, they say like, take it one day at a time. It's because like some days you have to do that. Like, I mean, this goes back to like, you know, mental health. It's like, I am bipolar. I do have really, really bad depressive episodes where like, I'm not gonna lie. Like a few weeks ago, I didn't wash my hair for like kind of way too long. I wouldn't even get in the shower. I would take a bath. If I was like, something about like washing my hair seemed too big and too scary to do that. Like, I literally couldn't do it. And like, so like stuff like that's hard. It's not like I quit drinking and then all of a sudden everything was perfect and my life was amazing. It's like, it's about how much work you're willing to put into it and how, you know, how much you really want to imagine a better version of yourself and a better life for yourself. Cause it's like, and like when I quit drinking, I didn't think it was something that I was going to do forever. I was like, I'm just going to get my shit together. Like, I'm going to get like my mind right. And then like, you know, I'll be back to normal. And I'm like, I don't want to go back to that normal. That wasn't normal. At the end of the day, what I was doing, the way I was acting, the way I was drinking, I think that, I mean, we didn't really get that much into, but really like the larger culture of just drinking in America, it's not normal. The way that we act like it's normal to get drunk whenever you're celebrating anything or whenever you go out to do anything with your friends, like that's not normal. We need to take a step back and like really break up with that relationship and examine in what ways it's really serving us. Like not only in how it makes us physically feel, how it makes us mentally feel, how it impairs our relationship. Almost every fight that I've ever gotten into with a significant other, I was drunk. Like, that's not right. Like, that's not healthy. It's an inappropriate relationship and it wasn't serving me. And I don't think it serves a lot of people, but I think that a lot of people are afraid to like take that step back and really examine their relationship because it's like, it is the hard thing to do. And you're going to have people question you. And you're also like, you are literally going to be denying your body of something that it is like not necessarily dependent on, but it doesn't know what it feels like to be without it. Mm-hmm. So it feels weird.
Yeah. No, I completely, and I'll leave it at that. I think you said it best there, is that it's a breakup that needs to occur with our relationship with alcohol. 'Cause I felt the same way. Why would I go back to a version of myself that I didn't value? I didn't like who I was when I was drunk. I didn't like the actions or the way that I felt after I was drunk. So why would I do something that isn't good for me? I care too much about myself to let that happen. And I don't remember if we talked about it on the last episode or in the first episode, but my sense of like being and my sense of self-confidence completely evaporated when I started drinking. And I'm a very confident individual. And so why would I lose that intentionally? I know what I'm going in to lose. And so I think we'll just, the last parting note will be that it's a breakup that needs to occur. And I am so glad that you came on. And I'm so thankful that you were coming back on for a part two, because I truly think that this part of the episode is going to be like the element that ties it all together and like allows people to really resonate with what's being said. And again, I'm so proud of you for making it over a year in sobriety and how much you've grown and changed as a person. It's remarkable, really. And I'm proud of you. And let's have a selfless plug.
Oh, my shop. Yeah, so it's bunnyteeth.com,
Three, three.
BUNNYT33TH.com. Or you can follow me at that same handle. Yeah, I don't know. Thanks for inviting me. I'm so happy I got to, this is like one of my favorite things to talk about. So I'm so happy I got to talk about it.
It's not only talk about it once, talk about it twice.
Talk about it so many times.
Okay. Well, I won't keep you from your pasta or your next meeting for too much longer. So have a great rest of your night. And thank you so much for coming back on.
Yeah, of course. It was great seeing you again.
Bye, Greta.
Bye.